Blog Talk Radio.
Corner in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. My name is Bob Carson, and we have an extravaganza for you here today. I'm telling you, we have a great show. I'm so pleased. We're going to have Mark Pavlich on in just a few moments here. There are some recent controversies that have popped up. People are making accusations against Mark, and I mean, this is from promoters, this is from fighters. Some serious stuff going on, and there's another radio show that seemed to sort of kickstart this all off, and we're going to get Mark's take on all of that. I really want to go in depth here with MFC President Mark Pavlich about these accusations, and you know Mark, that he doesn't hide from anything. He always he always gives his opinion on anything, and he's just not afraid to mix it up. And so we're very, very pleased to have him on in the first hour. Then in the second hour, Robert Drysdale will be here, undefeated MMA fighter who's made the transition very well to MMA, where many of his counterparts have not. He's undefeated, finishing his opponents in dominant fashion. And he's a very, very interesting guy. He's a guy who spent a lot of time in Brazil and learned the culture there. And he's training. He's done some training with some high-level fighters. And we're going to talk to him in a second hour or so. Let's go. This should be Mark Pavlich on the program here. Mark, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, Bob?
We have a lot to talk about here. We usually get you on right before an event to talk about the great MFC events, but this time we're playing host just after another successful card, and we want to talk about that extensively. But there's definitely another reason why we wanted to have you on the show here. I've been seeing some allegations about you on the internet, not just the usual hater stuff that I know you're used to. There's another show, MMA Sucker, recently played host to one of your competitors, and he made a number of claims that I'd like to get your response to. This is separate from your rivalry with Monty Cox, which we've already covered in the interview.
No, I spoke to Monty recently, and he was making it very clear that what he was talking about was in full jest, and
yes,
he was joking.
Yes.
You know, so
yeah.
He made that very clear. Me and Monty get along very well, and he said that, you know, he was joking around, and that was the end of it. So
this was different, though. Like with this promoter, you know, you and Monty have respect for each other. There's no question about that. But this actually seems personal, at least on the part of the individual attacking you. Let me give the folks at home some background here. On MMA Sucker Radio, Aggression Fighting Championship owner Darren Owens had a lot of negative stuff to say about you. I know you're not the type to let attacks and insults kind of roll off your back. You are, but he said some things that really, I think, need to be addressed here. He said one of his quotes was, referring to you, his lack of respect for everybody else in Canadian MMA is what bugs me. He disrespects the fighters all the time. He disrespects some of the other pioneers who have done this longer than him and have done this with more integrity than him. All right, let's start with that. Do you think you've disrespected other people in Canadian MMA?
Bob, I don't even know who this individual is, right? And the show you're talking about is extremely small. So, like I said, I have no comment whatsoever to these people because I don't know them. They're very small show. That's all I can say. I don't know. Like, you know, I think by you even giving them validity, it's almost shocking to me today because, there's people on the street corner saying, you know, this or that. I don't care, man. I really don't. That person has no relevancy to me. He's not a player in the game. I don't know them. I don't know him. So it's like I don't have no comment whatsoever. Like I said, people are going to stand on the street corner and say whatever they're going to say, man. Listen, the bottom line is, you know, you look at Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia, right? They're actually rivals, and they're fighting with each other. And people say, I can't believe in golf, they're fighting. And I tell them, of course they're fighting. It's about money. It's about winning. When you want to win and you want to fight all the time, that's what's going to happen between individuals, right? This guy, I don't even know who he is, so I'm not going to talk about him. I'm not going to give them any validity because, like, that's what they want, right? And I, like I said, I've never listened to the interview. I've never listened to this guy talk. You know, I know he spends a great deal of time talking about me, and that's his prerogative to do so, right? I just don't want to talk about him.
Are there any promoters who have done this longer than you?
Yeah, Dana White. You know, so Dana White's done it longer. There's one other gentleman that's done it close to me. He's in Canada. It's Lee Meehan, and I like him very much. And his fighters fight in my organization and things like that. But outside that, no, there's nobody. You know. But like I said, you know, it's easy. Everybody wants to throw stones. I don't care about that, man. All I care about is getting bigger corporate sponsors, putting more people in my venue, getting better fighters and all that type of stuff. You know, the funny part is you go interview everybody on my roster and ask them how I respect them. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a fan of fighters. You have to understand that. I respect them. They're part of my family, right? Just like my son. He's my son. I'm not a fan of my son. I respect my son. I love my son. But there's some hard love that comes with that, with me being your father, right? And it's the same thing with my fighters, right? There's a lot of hard love going around this joint, right? Because when you run an organization at the level I'm at, that's the kind of thing that happens. I mean, you can ask any guy on my roster what it's like to be part of the Maximum Fighting Championship. They're going to tell you there's a lot of pressure, man. There's a lot of pressure.
I know that you don't want to mention him specifically, and that's fine, but I wanted to also read some quotes where you could just address these points without mentioning him, because they speak to your individual
character. It's not a relevant thing because, like I said, I don't even want to comment about it. I really don't. For someone that so-called wants controversy in their life and all this other stuff, it's different if you said, oh, Dana White was doing this or someone like that. This guy's this is what I do know. He's as small as they come. So for me, it's there's no relevancy for me to go past that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, and that's their ploy. The ploy is to get me to, you know, verbally speak about them and this and that. And I have no interest. And I don't care what he says. I really don't. You know what I mean? Because he's never, the person's, I think he met me one time at one of my press conferences. I think, you know, that's as basically as how many times I ever met that person. That's basically it, man. I never had any kind of business dealings with him ever, nothing. So he don't know me. He's never going to sit down and have dinner with me. He's never going to hang out with me. We don't hang around in the same circle, so let's just put it that way.
Yeah. You mentioned the sponsors and whatnot, how, you know, you're trying to, you know, you've dealt with sponsors. Have you had a high turnover of sponsors? Because, I mean, that's not necessarily an indication that, because he was saying that you screwed over a lot of sponsors. Turnover of sponsors isn't necessarily an indication that you screwed
anyone over. I don't have problems with sponsors. I probably have the most sponsors in the whole country. I probably have more sponsorship than all the other MMA shows in Canada put together. So that's what I do know. So that's all I can basically attest to is that, you know what I mean? So like I said, you know, some organization that struggles to get by thinks they're going to ride my wave, they're crazy, you know. Good luck to you, man. You know, you got to get up real early to mess with my family, and you got to go to bed real late, and you got to sacrifice, man. That's what they don't understand. People don't understand that in general. You have to sacrifice, and that's a word that people don't understand, and my family sacrificed more than anybody in this industry, in this country, and pretty much 99% of anybody in the world. So, you know, that's that. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, this guy runs a promotion in an area of Canada, I believe, British Columbia, and he claims to have spoken to people in Edmonton, and he says that you'd burnt a lot of bridges over there with fighters, and so on and so forth. Have you burned bridges with people? I mean, what sort of reasons would you need to have an end to an otherwise productive?
Well, we're not desperate for fighters. See, that's what people don't understand, right? We're not desperate for fighters. When you're talking about the Maximum Fighting Championship, the term would be used, we cut fighters, right? We just cut guys. We just cut Jay Silva. We just cut Jason Flynn. We cut fighters. We're not desperate for fighters. We're not, like, scrambling around trying to get fighters. People want to fight in the Maximum Fighting Championship. And why? Because they're live on Access Television. Why? Because you're on the largest sport network in Canada called TSN. That's why. And what comes with that is more corporate sponsorship. So that's kind of, you know, that's where it breaks down to. You know, you're going to get disgruntled fighters because they flunk out of the MFC. They fight their way out. They don't fight their way in, they fight their way out, right? So when you start you look at Jay Silva, man, the guy was ranked 40th in the world. Came in the MFC, he got knocked out twice, back to back. What am I going to do, keep him? No, well, there. You know, Jay Silva's a good guy, but he got cut. Would that make him disgruntled? Probably. You know, that's the nature of my business, and I don't care. You take your career where you want to take it in the Maximum Fighting Championship, right? You take it to how far you want to take it, but don't be ever mistaken. Never be mistaken. This sport is about winning.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'd agree that you'd, quote, screwed up the MMA scene, at least based on your shows doing very well. I mean, do you have any do you have any plans to promote in British Columbia, by the way?
Yes. Yes.
I hear that place is a very, very nice place to live, very tolerant place.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful aesthetic place. I'm just not overly sold on, you know, we'll see how the MMA landscape is. So when we go there, you know, you can imagine that, you know, you'll hear about it like everybody else will, right? So, I mean, like I said, there's, you know, you could probably go on the internet right now and find 500 people talking crap about me, you know?
Right.
You could go anywhere. Really? But you know what I was doing? I was having dinner with my wife tonight, right? And that's what I was doing. And that was so enjoyable to have dinner with someone that I've been with for 26 years and who's my business partner in the industry. And you know, it's funny. My daughter on occasion, oh, Dad, I heard this on the internet, or people were talking really nice about you, Dad. You know, I tell her, I don't care, sweetheart. Even if they're talking nice, I don't care. It's
right.
Not about that anymore. It's about nice, bad. What do I care? Hey, Bob, have me and you ever sat down and had dinner together? No.
No.
You don't know my favorite color. You don't know what I like to drink. You don't know what my favorite sports are. You don't. That's what I'm saying to you. People don't know me. So how can they be that people judge me? Even this person that's talking crap, I'm not judging him. He's going to be who he's going to be. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. But I know one thing, and there's no taking this away. We're the number one brand of MMA in Canada by about 500 miles. That's a fact. You go do surveys everywhere you want to do them. You could go to his city and do surveys, and they'll tell you the same thing, right? And guess what? As long as I'm alive and want to be in this business, we're always going to be number one. Now, this is the trick, Bob. Let's be number two in the world. You understand? That's the next trick. And there's only one way to do that. And me and Mrs. P have been discussing it. And there's only one way to do that.
Now, by the way, Donnie, our unpaid intern, is always going on about Vancouver. And he's saying it's the new Amsterdam. Amsterdam. Apparently, Donnie's a pothead, so I don't know. But they also said something about your Access TV deal. They basically said that if it wasn't for the Access TV, quote, you'd have nothing. His live shows don't draw anywhere near what our live shows draw. People
Bob, that's ridiculous. He should be arrested for saying stuff like that. I mean, honest to God, it's not even on the same planet. Our ticket price is higher. We're in the same venue in our same city. You know, call the venue and ask them. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, just making random statements like that is just absolutely absurd. Like, it's not even our ticket price is higher. We draw way more than they do. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's funny? The guy did one interview. What did he do in his whole entire life? Talk crap about me. I mean, that's what he did, you know? Good for him, you know? And apparently, you're talking about it, so it kind of worked.
I mean, it's not that you're not addressing these points. I can understand as a rival promoter, or not even a rival, but as a promoter in Canada,
correct,
that you don't want to mention him. You don't hear Dana White talking about, you know, this guy or that guy and whatnot. So I can understand that, but you know, some of these points, when somebody's out there just talking about your character and whatnot, you can respond without acknowledging him. You
correct,
know what I mean?
And that's what I'm doing, right? Because
yeah, exactly.
Bob, to be honest with you, I'm trying to entertain you, right? And the people listening. But all in all, let's be honest. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, I expect people like him to talk about me, right? That's what I do. And not just him, everybody else like him talk about me, right? It's like,
this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, there have been other Canadian promoters that have... you know, have talked about you and whatnot. So
you know what's funny? A lot of those guys that used to talk crap about me are friendly with me now. And I think it's funny, you know, because, listen, there's no secret either, right? My friends know this. I'm a practicing Christian. You know, I go to church on Sundays. So for me, as controversial as I am, and I don't talk about spirituality very often ever, okay? Because I'm not going to push it on anybody. I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to be that guy, right? I do it for myself and my family. But at the same time, I'm really not that way. You know what I mean? I'm really not. You know, I really try to focus on what's most important is the Maximum Fighting Championship, you know, more sponsors, more exposure, more shows. That's the kind of thing I'm concentrating on, right? So like I said, when people try to drag me to where I used to like to go a lot, I try to avoid it. I really do.
Yeah. Access TV, it's a pretty good deal for starters. Is Aggression Fighting Championship on Access TV?
No. No, they're not on any TV, you know? That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, you know, they have their little friend filming it with a camera and they tell it, you know, that's basically what it is. They're not on anything, right? You know, and I, once again, that's you know, whatever they do, I can't do nothing about it. It's what I can do, right?
Right.
I stay focused on my stuff.
Now, pro fighter Trent Thorne, which is quite a tough-sounding name, posted that you had threatened to have him, quote, taken care of, which he took to be an implied threat on his life or well-being.
Oh, no, I would that's ridiculous. Bob, what did you bored tonight? You bring in this kind of, that's crazy. Taking care of, what are we, the mafia here? Jesus, come on, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, why would you have threatened a 7-5 middleweight? I mean, that just seems strange.
Oh, yeah, no. There was no, you know, he pulled out of a few fights. No, what's his name?
Trent Thorne.
No, I don't know. He is. That's crazy, you know.
Yeah, well, the only fighter
I ever threatened was Drew Fickett.
Yes.
And then Drew came and fought for me after that. We all kissed and made up and sang Kumbaya, you know.
Wasn't there a recording of that? Didn't he release a recording of that? So
It wasn't one of my shining moments. I'll just put it that way.
Well, yeah. So I mean, it was all documented. MMA Sucker Radio also posted they heard about you going off on guys in hallways, whatever that means. But you've always seemed like a pretty calm and collected guy when you're on.
Yeah.
You're enthusiastic, but you're someone who, you know.
There's nothing listen, Bob, like I said, man, I try to stay focused on what I know how to do, and I do that, and you know, people are gonna try to always, you know, try to get in my way, you know, and it's, you know, I'm just going to go around them or over top of them or underneath them or right through them, you know.
Well, thanks for being so candid and forthright in your response to these questions. I mean, you're one of the few people.
I just think it's kind of funny, though. I think it's funny because, like I said, I don't know these people and, you know, it would be like me talking about Tom Cruise right now and talking crap about him. Like, it makes no sense, you know. It'd be like me talking about, you know, you know, Robert De Niro or somebody like that. I don't know them. I've never, like, I don't know those people, you know, so I don't have a right to judge them or talk about them because I don't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty, pretty interesting stuff. I compare it, I don't know, but, you know, he, you claim to put on the best cards in Canada, and that's, you know, substantiated by your draws and your ticket prices and whatnot.
Ticket prices, TV deals, fighter roster, you know, those are all the big components, you know. Why the biggest sport network in Canada that's the same network as the NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, and I'm on it. Why would that be, right? You think
right.
that's an accident? Right? You same with Access TV, right? They're phenomenal to deal with. You think that a company like that just, you know, they want quality people. You think Mark Cuban and Andrew Simon want to do business with people that are shady and shifty and, you know, all that type of stuff? Absolutely not, right? They want to do a business with ethical people, people that say they're going to do something and then do it.
Well, you know what's interesting? If you look at his Edmonton card, he apparently has a lot of fighters that have fought for the MFC, right? He has Ryan Ford.
No, Bob, I'm not doing it. I'm not. That's it. Done, man. I'm not going to talk like this. Like look, most of the people that they've ever signed with the MFC, you can check, have flunked out of the MFC, lost titles in the MFC, been cut from the MFC. You know, that's what it is, and that's I expect that type of stuff. That's what, you know, Dana White deals with that on a constant basis, right? There's guys that get cut from his organization that I used to take. Right?
Right.
You know, not as much anymore, right? And it's, you know, so on and so on. But there's organizations that do that type of stuff. That's just nature of the business and nature of the beast, what we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You must have been disappointed at the last MFC event with the cancel. I was so disappointed because I was looking forward to that fight with the cancellation of the title fight, the heavyweight title fight.
You know what, though? Did you see the show? It was unbelievable. The fights were off the hook. Burchak and Benoit put on probably the best ever main event in the MFC. I mean, it was insane, the fight. So, you know, it's funny. I, you know, for Ram, I feel horrible because he's such a great fighter, and he'll have his day. You know, but did Benoit and Burchak ever step up to the plate in that fight? Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing! I'm so impressed. Like Burchak and Benoit, man, they're like I said they're 135 pound royalty, man. The way guys like that fight, I mean, it's just so much fun to watch, and it was just so enjoyable, and the show was off the hook, man. It was awesome. I really really enjoyed MFC 37. Lots of times I'm really critical on the show, and I want to fix this or fix that, but this last one, man, I loved it. I love the knockout of Sam Alvey over. Silva, I loved Kurt Southern's level of, you know, his fight with Moromo, and of course the main event. Wow.
Yeah, that was a very worthy main event. I mean, it was a great fight, as you said. Both guys traded dominant positions, strikes, submission attempts, reversals, and you name it. Tell me what you were thinking when you set up the fight, and how you felt watching it play. It as a matchmaker, had it been pretty satisfying.
Oh, it was awesome, man. I loved it. I mean, it was great. My son flew in because he helps us with the shows, and we were sitting there, and it was just we were all jumping up and down, and laptops were flying all over the place. It was awesome, man. I loved it, man. I mean, that's what I did this sport for, man. I do it because, you know, that type of fighting, I love it. They were so inspiring with the fight. They wouldn't give up. They went back and forth. And it just, you know, Burchak and Benoit, man, I'm a huge fan of those guys. And the same with Sam Alvey. I think he really stepped up. Luke Harris, his comeback fight, I mean, he looked like unreal. Zengraf was in a position to, you know, if he won that fight, to go for the title. And Harris just tooled him, like absolutely tooled him. And that's, you know, that's the nature of what we do, man. I mean, you can't, this is not, you know, WWE. You can't plan this stuff, man. This is, you know, guys got to fight to get to that belt around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the main event, I mean, it was a great match. Hats off from us to both guys. And it's not just a case of this fight, you know, being a fight that you didn't expect to be an exciting fight. It's one of those fights where both fighters were on their way up in terms of their career, and they deserve all the credit in the world. But MFC deserves some credit, too, for booking this fight. Do you ever feel frustrated at all that a fight like that doesn't get the same sort of praise it might have gotten if it had happened in the UFC?
Yeah, of course, right? If of course, but that's the nature of the business we're in, man.
Exactly.
They're the biggest show on the planet. It's always just going to be that way, right? And then you kind of got to just digest it and say, okay, that's just the way it's going to be. And I'm not gonna hate on the UFC because they're the best show in the world, and that's just the way it is. And it's like I'm trying to put on unbelievably exciting fights with a lot of shine, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, if that fight had happened in the UFC, it'd probably be fight of the year. But regardless, you must be excited about, booking future matchups with those guys.
Yeah, it's funny because after, seeing that fight, the office line didn't start buzzing for 135ers that want to come to the Maximum Fighting Championship because they're all inspired to be there fighting that type of level of guy, and we're working on guys right now as we speak, and within the 135 division, signing some guys, and we're going to be announcing that in the next few weeks, and, that's the nature of the game, man. Just keep it rolling.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What's next on the agenda for the MFC? Are we going to be seeing some of the guys from your last card again?
You're going to see Burchak fight for the 135-pound belt. It has to happen. I mean, he's that level. Rama, heavyweight title. I can't wait to see him fight again because he fights like a 135er. He's a heavyweight and fights like he's 135. It's unbelievable. Just destroyed everybody in this country in the heavyweight division.
Well, what about the canceled main event? I mean, I know there was some mudslinging over that unfortunately not taking place, but Barnett apparently didn't get his medicals done early, and when they looked at his eye, they found what they described as holes in his retina. That's a horrible injury and terrible news for any fight, I'm sure. But what happened in the aftermath with insults being traded? Who was at fault in that situation?
No, I don't think even Barnett was at fault. I think the agent was, and I think he knows that too, and I know him for many years, and I've done good business with him before too as well. I think he dropped the ball on this one, and, he can only do so much if he's in one location and the fighter's in another location, and, they didn't get things done in time, and then when they did, they found holes in the retina, and I was like, we couldn't. If I would have known a week prior, I would have had the problem solved. I would have flown someone in from wherever I had to fly them in from, and replaced the flight. But because it took so long, we didn't have time to do that. I fully blame the agent. At the same time, as I've done business with him in the past, he was a phenomenal guy to deal with. So this is one incident where he dropped the ball. That's it. I mean, people want to sling. It don't matter. It doesn't matter no more. I don't care. It's a fact. The facts are the facts, and people are going to talk or what they're going to talk, and I don't care no more. I know the truth, and I know what took place, and so does he.
Yeah, well, that's exactly because they're. There's a debate or people generally ponder on whether or not a fighter or a promoter have to make sure the medicals are done. But there's always extenuating circumstances.
Correct.
I mean, especially when you're dealing with fighters that are not located in your country. I mean, I know it's difficult,
It is, yes.
Was there
we don't have problems over the years we've been in business with people with medicals. Never. That's never been issues with us. Never. The guys are very in the Maximum Fighting Championship. Guys are very professional. They know they got to get their stuff. That's it. It's not. It's usually never a problem. I'm not scrambling. We're not scrambling around in our office for medicals. Even guys are starting to get them done for the next show. I mean, that's how it works around here.
Yeah, was there anything you did or didn't do which made it difficult for Barnett to have them done on time?
No, same procedure as always, right? They're notified way in advance. They know what they got to get. It's just that, they just procrastination, right? I mean, the guy was in training, but that's why I try to encourage every fighter to get a good manager, Not someone who's your buddy, not some friend, not some guy that's a flunky, and then does like, oh, I'm going to manage fighters. I mean, there's lots of that going on, man. In my opinion, there's probably five good managers on the whole planet, And I'm talking, that's a thin five.
So I'm guessing no Beast Boy in the MFC and possibly in MMA at all if his retinas are damaged? I mean, all the best.
Correct. I think that's something that he needs to go do and check where that's at. He has to get surgery. I mean, if that was me, I would never, you know, that's just, you're talking about losing eyes and stuff. I mean, that's just not cool.
Yeah, and he hasn't fought since 2011, and this is really going to be a damper on his career. I mean, I'd hate for him to be permanently injured just on a human level. It's a shame, and it must be tough to lose the main event like that for you as well. How did Rama take it? I mean, he seems like the sort of person who might have been mad that an opponent pulled that late, because when I spoke to him,
he was a total professional. He was a total professional, man. I mean, the kid, like I told everybody, the kid's a very special individual. He's very special in the way of his mentality. He was more concerned about myself and my wife, how we were dealing with it. I'm not kidding. I mean, this kid's special, and regardless of whatever, me and him have a phenomenal relationship, and I can't say enough positive stuff about the guy.
So I'm assuming you want to rebook him for a fight as soon as possible. Anyone you're looking at as a challenger for him?
Yeah, I have a lot right now, right? I just don't want to say anything because you know how it works in this industry. If I say the name, you know, someone will come along and try to sign them just spite me. So I think it's kind of funny, but it's happened lots over the years. I learned my lesson.
When should we expect to be seeing the next MFC card on Access TV?
Maybe August. Then we have October. We have October 4th put aside already, and then that's what's coming up. You know, I was almost contemplating on taking the summer off for the first time in 13 years because I've just been working like crazy. So it's like we almost want to do like normal people and like barbecue and do all cool stuff like that.
Who made the biggest impression on you out of everyone who fought? Let's say leaving it aside. You know, from Berchek and Benoit.
You mean on the last show or ever?
No, on the last show.
I think Sam Alvey. I think Alvey was somebody that, you know, was just kind of took things to a whole new level of how he thinks and how he does stuff. So he was one to me that I thought is taking stuff to a whole new level.
Yeah, I thought so too. He looked very measured and tactical.
I agree. That's a great term.
And you know, the Silva did a great job in avoiding those bombs, but you know, he eventually got caught, which, you know, isn't uncommon in MMA. I know Silva was unhappy with the stoppage, and he said he might not retire after all. I understand his take on that as a fighter, but he doesn't want to lose or get stopped, but he definitely did get hit hard and hurt by Alvey.
Well, he was knocked down already once in the fight, and then he got knocked down the second time, and he went down face first. And face first is a very dangerous way to go out, you know? So most of the time, most officials, if you go face first, they'll stop the fight, right? Because that's a clear indication that you're out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mark, just on a side note, what do you think of the whole Vitor Belfort TRT situation?
I don't know much about it, right? Like I said, not to be rude or nothing, but I don't pay attention to what goes on there that much. And I did watch his fight, which is rare. I like him. I like how he fights, right? He's that style of fighter that I like, so I watched his fight. But the other issue stuff there, I don't even follow it.
Well, do you consider it cheating?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just, it is what it is, right? It's like, you know, I personally consider it that. But, I mean, you know, the debate's going to go on and everybody's going to debate it and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's cheating.
Okay. Well, Mark, listen, thanks for coming on the show again to talk about this stuff. Next time, we'll have you on to talk about just MMA stuff and your upcoming fights and none of this hater stuff. I just want to go on the record and say
that's
that,
okay,
Mark.
Listen, I, no sweat on me, man. I've been dealing with it for 13 and a half years, and, you know, there'll be someone to take someone's spot all the time, right? So, like I said, I'm just grateful for where I'm at right now in the mixed martial art business and the support I got from Access TV and TSN, and I mean, it's incredible, and the corporate sponsorship that we have with our organization is just amazing.
Yeah, and I just want to go on record and say that Mark Pavlich has never threatened my life, folks, okay? And we've been working We've been working with Mark for about 5 years now or so, and so I can assure you that that's never happened. But let's give out your Twitter and Facebook stuff so people can get to know you better and make up their own mind.
Twitter is at Mark Pavlich, and then, of course, at Maximum Fighting. And then you can go on Instagram, too, as well, and go to Maximum Fighting or Mark Pavlich. And then, of course, on Facebook, you know, you go to our Facebook like page, Maximum Fighting, and, you know, that's you'll be up to date on everything. And, of course, our website at MaximumFighting.com.
All the best with your next show, and congratulations on some great fights at MFC 37.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. All right. That was Mark Pavlich, MFC president. And, again, another one for the ages here on Carson's Corner. We're going to switch gears now and talk to you about another show that's coming up at 12 a.m. David Levitt, Carson's Corner, the political show, is an affiliate with Speak Your Mind Radio. And Speak Your Mind Radio and David Levitt, the force behind Speak Your Mind Radio, raises awareness when it comes to missing children, missing and exploited children. And on Friday, which is just in a few short hours, is National Missing Children's Day. And David Levitt is on the program to tell us what we've got coming up in just a few hours on that show. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, good. I can hear you loud and clear. Thanks for just stopping by here. Let us know. What you and I are going to be hosting the show coming up in a few hours, so we've got a lot of important information for people out there to absorb and to do their part in helping raising awareness to, you know, find these children. So what can you tell us about what we got going on?
Okay. Well, what we do have going on is, first of all, there's going to be an event tonight, and it's going out at the end of at 8 o'clock. But it was from 4 to 8 p.m., and that was the first night out for missing persons in Cleveland. And they were going to be holding from East Block to the West Block in the area that Christina Atkins went missing. They were going to be holding tips at places where the police officers can be, where anybody can leave any tips for any of the missing children in Ohio. And I tried looking for that link that I shared with you for all the people that are missing in Ohio. And they're going to be highlighting these cases. And what we're going to be doing is on Saturday, May 25th, on Missing Children's Day, Christina Atkins they're going to be handing out some flyers. And they're going to be distributed May 25th from 12 p.m. until 3 p.m. And it's going to be at the corner of Kinkle Avenue and West 25th Ave. And it's going to be time to put up the flyers for Christina. And Tanya is asking that everybody meet there at the corner of Kinkle Avenue and West 25th.
Yeah, we have information. We have some clips, some interviews about some cases.
Yep.
We've got a lot of stuff going on. That's going to be taking place tomorrow morning or early this morning, basically tonight at 12 a.m. here on Carson's Corner. If you just you could just click on the channel that you're listening to now, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. David and I will be live on the air at 12 a.m. Doing our part. You should do your part and join us and raise awareness. Post on Facebook. Subscribe to the groups. Get any information that you can to help us in the search for these missing people. And, you know, David, this is just with all what has transpired with the three abducted girls that were found in Ohio and whatnot, there seems to be new life in what you're doing, and there seems to be newfound motivation out there for people that have had their children abducted.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, it's all the more important that we keep this ball rolling and, do our part to raise awareness here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So then Christina Atkins is what we'll be talking about that event. Actually, Heather White was going to be joining us tonight, but we're going to have to do a rain check on that. And she'll come in scheduled for another time. Because something that's coming up, because everything that's going on, that with her the family. She said that she would love to be here. She really appreciates, she says, don't you know that she appreciates what you do and actually sharing your show with us and letting us get these cases that are unsolved and people who are missing out there in the public eye.
Yes, and we will we'll always continue to be there and to give any type of publicity that we can, any type of coverage that we can to these cases, because as you know, David, sometimes the media doesn't like to focus on these mm-hmm. cases, and the longer that they go on, the less attention that they receive. So that's why your efforts are just so critical. Everything that you do and working with Heather and working with other parents and anybody can to raise awareness, it's definitely something that I'm so proud to be a part of, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Thank you. Yes, thank you for actually sharing your broadcast with us and being able to put this 2-hour event on tonight. We will be covering covering three cases, and that would be Dylan Redwine, Christina Atkins, Ashley Summers, there's another one. But I still have to wait on confirmation for that. But we do have a news footage back when Christina Kleckner went missing. So we do have that clip. It's just that we have to confirm everything else, you know, what's going on, age, height, all that stuff, with the family first before we can actually even talk about the case. But we can play that news footage that we did get. She's that's fine. I spoke with Heather about that. She said, yes, that's okay.
All right, that's great. And that's going to take place tonight at 12 a.m. here. Okay, so make sure to tune in. And if you follow me on Facebook, you're friends with me on Facebook or Twitter, please retweet this and get it out as much as possible. You could also friend David. Go ahead.
Yes, and I just shared the event on your Facebook wall.
Absolutely, and I would also urge people out there that are listening to get in touch with David Levitt. You could friend him through me, or you could just type in David Levitt on Facebook, and you'll see his profile and all the work that he does to raise awareness. So it's you know, you can work directly with David. We're starting to expand now. We're starting to work with a lot of people out there, just so important. So, David, listen, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
I look forward to hosting the show with you in a few short hours, and hopefully we could get this out there as wide as possible.
Yes, definitely. And a lot of people I just ask is that, you know, you join the event because all of the cases that we'll be covering tonight and all of the links, the updates, what's going on in the Cleveland area to honor in National Missing Children's Day and what they're doing is that you go to Bob's profile, join the event, and share it with all of your friends. And if we can get 25 of your friends to tell 25 other people, you know, this will actually get out. Any questions that anybody does have on how to get the how to deliver flyers and to help out with this, you can also email on the Facebook group, Where is Missing Christina Atkins, which is also, the link to that is also in the event. Okay?
All right, David. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you in a few hours, my friend.
Yeah, we'll see you in a few hours. Thank you.
Take care. All right, that was David Levitt of Speak Your Mind Radio. Also, make sure to check out his website at symradio.com. Just such important work that he's doing, okay? So make sure. And you could, anytime that he's on the program, it'll be on this channel. You know, Carson's Corner is like becoming a radio station now. We got the political show. We've got the MMA show. And we've got the show in conjunction with SYM Radio dealing with the issues of missing and child abducted children. And so, you know, human trafficking, too. This is a major problem. Do you know that I believe over 3,000 children go missing each year? They're abducted by a parent and taken out of this country. And that's not including the amount of people that are missing in general. So this is a huge problem, and this is part of our duty. We have a duty. I consider it my duty to raise awareness and to have anybody on that wants to talk about these cases. You're listening to Carson's Corner, the MMA show, in conjunction with CageJunkies.com. In about 15 minutes or so, we're supposed to be speaking with Robert Drysdale. Nice guy, really. We reached out to him last night. He said he would be on the show. I believe he's out somewhere in Las Vegas training and working on his MMA career. His last fight, I believe, he defeated soundly a DJ Linderman, who is really, really a big guy. And an okay heavyweight. You know, you, of course, you saw DJ lose to Anthony Rumble Johnson in the World Series of Fighting, which there's certainly doubts that remain about the World Series of Fighting and whether or not they're going to be continued. Their first their last televised event in March nearly was canceled because of a discrepancy with the New Jersey Athletic Control Board and the ring that they were going to use. It wasn't approved by the Athletic Control Board. And it was they put on the event, but in my opinion, they did a bad job of marketing. They didn't have many of the fighters accessible to the media. And so this could be another fly-by-night MMA promotion, which I it's not that I'm sitting here rooting for that to take place. We need all the MMA competition out there, in my opinion. But, you know, it doesn't look good. But in any event, we'll see what happens, okay? But you know, Robert Drysdale is really someone that we've wanted to have on the program for a long time. He actually submitted Marcelo Garcia in jiu-jitsu. He's just a really, really talented guy, very interesting guy, a very technical guy, as is the case with many top-performing jiu-jitsu guys. You know, they're very analytical in terms of their personality, and you have to be, you know. And it's just rare that you see really good. I mean, you know, like, we could look at someone like Damian Maia, who's done reasonably well at MMA. You could look at the Nogueira brothers. You could look at, you know, some other jiu-jitsu fighters that have done reasonably well, but some of them don't. You know, some of them fall flat. You know, Saulo Hebreria fell flat. Ricardo Almeida, really, I mean, he was decent at MMA, but Hollis Gracie, Exande, they didn't really do well in MMA. There are other jiu-jitsu competitors that really didn't do well, and I wonder why that is. What is it? You know, I guess is it just like anything where certain guys can do well at certain things? I mean, there's been certain wrestlers that have come in and have not been good MMA fighters. But then again, you know, wrestling, there have probably been more successful wrestlers that have been successful at MMA than maybe jiu-jitsu guys in terms of the overall percentage. I mean, you do see a lot of fighters now coming out of Brazil that have exclusively a jiu-jitsu background. And when I say, you know, wrestling background, I'm talking about like collegiate wrestlers. You know, there used to be a time in MMA where you have collegiate wrestlers that trained a little jiu-jitsu and whatnot and did very well in MMA, but they nonetheless had a solid wrestling background. You know, Matt Hughes was a wrestler. Mark Holman, Pride champion, former UFC heavyweight champion, was primarily a wrestler. Don Fry, primarily a wrestler. Dan Severn, primarily a wrestler. And now, you know, you're still seeing people with a primary wrestling background do very well in MMA. But I think that's becoming the exception now because of the skills that is required, because everybody is just evolving in the sport very, very quickly. You know, of course, you got people like Ben Askren, who has developed his own MMA style based on his wrestling that nobody really can combat. But these seem to be the exception. I mean, you don't even really see anybody in side control anymore. You don't really see people in mount for just prolonged periods of time as you did in the earlier days, and that speaks to the skills of the fighters now. That speaks to the level of endurance that we've seen. There's no question that the sport has really, really evolved in just almost every facet out there. And so there's just not one style that's dominating as was the case years ago. Now it's multi styles, but still there is a strong, I think, jiu-jitsu stronghold in MMA, where the top fighters, I mean, Anderson Silva, black belt in jiu-jitsu. Anderson Silva is a guy that can probably beat anybody in jiu-jitsu in his weight class. He's submitted guys where he's had to submit them, and he's knocked guys out whenever he so desired. George St. Pierre, may be the best MMA wrestler out there. His wrestling has really improved. I wouldn't describe him as a jiu-jitsu fighter, although he is training his jiu-jitsu and probably maybe a blue belt at this point. But he's really used his wrestling strength and overall well-roundedness to win many decisions. I mean, that's most of his fights he wins by decisions. I mean, at least by the last 10 or 12 fights and whatnot. So it's just a mixture. It really is. Then you've got Cain Velasquez, who's fighting this Saturday. Are you going to order the pay-per-view? I'm sure as hell not. I'm not really interested in this fight. I don't think that, and I like Antonio Silva, but I don't think that Silva is really going to be able to match the wrestling of Cain Velasquez. Although, if you look at fights in the UFC, you look at heavyweight fights, there really hasn't been a dominant heavyweight champion out there. I mean, Junior Dos Santos had a few title defenses, but his reign didn't last long. Brock Lesnar, okay, he was the interim UFC heavyweight champion. He certainly didn't last long. And there's just been a revolving door of UFC heavyweights, which I think speaks volumes about the division itself. It's really, it's one of the more volatile divisions in the company of the UFC, where anybody can beat anybody. It's not like, the middleweight division where, pretty much Anderson Silva is going to blow through the competition, or George St. Pierre at this point, or, going down Benson Henderson. It's not as dominant as the lower weight divisions. I got to talk to you about, I mentioned Vitor Belfort, the situation, the TRT controversy, and his win over Luke Rockhold, former Strikeforce champion, who I thought really came across as whiny. We didn't really get exposed to too much of Luke Rockhold during Strikeforce, not on the personal level, but he just came across as just kind of whiny and a little bit disrespectful. And I can understand him feeling disappointed that seemingly his Strikeforce accomplishments didn't really amount to much, and that's by design with the UFC. So I can understand his frustration, but that's just the way he came across to me. And after he got knocked out by Vitor Belfort, he says, TRT didn't teach Vitor to kick in that way. And he took his hat off to Vitor Belfort, which is understandable. But Eddie Goldman pointed out something in his last show, and I think it's very important. By the way, thanks to Eddie for mentioning me on the M1 Global Forums, and as me being the only journalist who has spoken about station casinos' labor violations. And now there's a new Zuffa-owned site smearing the labor unions. What else is new, right? This is we could just blame the unions for the lack of MMA in New York and blame the unions for everything. You could even probably, you know, I'm sure Zuffa could probably go so far as to blame the unions for the low fighter pay, right? Maybe they'll do that, but thanks to Eddie. Eddie basically said, you know, they can't have Vitor fight in many of the commissions now in the United States, so basically he's just fighting abroad where anything goes under these commissions. And so, you know, is it legitimate? Is Vitor Belfort at this point a legitimate fighter? Is the use of TRT legitimate? And these are, as Mark Pavlich said, this will be debated and really studied going forward. Me personally, I do think you can make an argument that it is a form of cheating. But, you know, if they're going to allow this to take place, how in the world can you strip Pat Healy of the money that he won from beating Jim Miller after he tested positive? Does that make any sense? So we allow TRT to take place, and yet, you know, a fighter like Matthew Riddle was cut from the UFC for testing positive for marijuana. Marijuana would categorize it as a party drug, okay? But is it really giving a fighter a performance enhancement? I don't think so. You know, I mean, you have to really look into the science of this. Does smoking marijuana before the fight allow you to? And when I say before the fight, I'm talking about maybe a month before the fight, as Pat Healy apparently did. Pat Healy said, you know, I was partying with friends. I made a mistake. He took responsibility for it and whatnot, and he lost a lot of money. But did that give him any type of advantage in his fight versus Jim Miller? I don't think so. And so, therefore, the question becomes, why is it that he was, you know, stripped of his money and basically has this blemish on his record, so to speak, while other fighters are legally allowed to use that? And the answer becomes, the answer has to do with the promotional aspirations of Zuffa. This is my opinion here, is that Vitor Belfort is an attraction for Zuffa. Vitor Belfort, and part of it's the way he fights, and I understand, you know, but the fighters that are in good graces with Zuffa, Frank Mir, also TRT, you know, user, so to speak, using this therapy. Chael Sonnen, you know, Vitor Belfort, I'm sure Randy Couture, I'm sure others, they seemingly use this type of cheating without any consequences, where other fighters who test positive for marijuana are cut. It doesn't make any sense, and it really has to be examined. And I don't want fighters being legally allowed to use cocaine before the fight. Okay, I mean, I understand cocaine is different, but you see where I'm going here. I don't want it to be a slippery slope where we just basically say, okay, you know, if we're going to grant fighters TRT exemptions, then we're going to allow fighters to take marijuana. Of course, you could use marijuana legally for medicinal purposes in many states, in the United States. But these are all interesting questions. But you know what? There doesn't seem to be any structure to MMA. There doesn't seem to be consistent applying of the rules. And that is, in some respects, due to the fact that MMA is a business right now. We can't even say really it's a sport, because there's no ranking system. There's no criteria in which UFC fighters get a championship shot. It's completely arbitrary, which is why you see someone like Chael Sonnen, who has a subpar record and has done nothing to earn any type of title shot, continually get in the main events, because he fits the agenda of the promoters. He talks a certain amount. I don't think Chael Sonnen's a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy at all. I think he's actually a nice guy. I didn't meet him, but in 2009, we were at the Mohegan Sun, Eddie and I were covering an IFL event, and Chael was there, and he just, you know, was quiet. He was, I think he was there with Linwin or something like that, coaching. You know, he's not a bad guy. I understand he's just marketing himself, and he's just trying to talk trash to line his pockets, and he's done a good job. But really, where does it end here? Where do we start to treat this as a sport? And that's just unfortunate. It really is. And, you know, Station Casino, their record when it comes to labor abuses should be noted. And it ties into what's happening now with UFC fighters. It speaks to a certain attitude out there. And now you're having fighters that are coming out and saying what we've been saying for all along. I've been saying this for years, okay? One of the main motivations for me doing this program is to improve the lives of fighters. It's just unbelievable. I mean, there's no question that MMA fighters are being paid peanuts compared to appropriately leveled athletes in other sports. And that's not going to change unless you have some sort of unionization, unless you have some sort of structure and whatnot, like they do in other sports where the players have a little bit more say. You don't have that in MMA because this is the desire of Zuffa, the parent company of the UFC, is that they don't want their employees, their workers, to have too much leverage out there. They don't want them to have too many rights, because Zuffa is a very ideologically driven company. They are, you know, they adhere to a laissez-faire attitude, which all too often, almost under all circumstances, benefits the owner rather than the one giving his or her labor. And so now you're seeing fighters now coming out, Luke Como, others. What's the chiropractor? What's his name? The one who made the threat about Obama. I actually interviewed him. He fought Antonio Jacob Volkman. He's coming out and, you know, criticizing the Zuffa and talking about fighter representation. Well, these fighters are all late in the game. And mark my words, what's going to happen is, when you see fighters like Rashad and other guys who unfortunately have depreciated to the point where these guys are almost fighting for a job now, which again suits the owners of the company. When you see guys like him, and they will talk about how badly the fighters have it, then you know that, you know, something's got to change. But nothing is going to change unless we all band together and say, you know, I'm sorry, UFC fighters actually have to be paid money, and this current, you know, structure which Zuffa has put in place to their benefit, where, you know, contracts are not made available to the public. The Muhammad Ali Act does not govern the sport of mixed martial arts. You have, you know, arbitrary matchmaking. You have, you know, there have been UFC events where there have been no drug testing. It has to start to really come into order. And that's only going to come with organization. It really is. You've got the UFC coming up this weekend, and I only know of a few fights on the card. Let me try see if I can get some information here about this card. But Mark Hunt, of course, is fighting. I believe he's replacing the injured Alistair Overeem, and if I'm not mistaken, he's scheduled to fight Junior Dos Santos at UFC 160. Mark Hunt has a puncher's chance, okay, there's just no question about that. He's coming off a victory over Stefan Struve, and actually, if you look at his wins in the UFC, he actually has 4 straight wins, which is kind of surprising to me. I really haven't examined his record, but he does have 4 UFC wins, which, you know, does that warrant a title shot? I don't know. I mean, I can't say that it was a bad decision that Zuffa decided to give him a title shot. But, you know, nonetheless, it we're going to see what's going to happen here if Dos Santos is going to be able to use his reach and just outbox Mark, which might be the case. Because I see Dos Santos as having a weak chin. I do. And I guess at that weight, anybody can get knocked out, but you don't see, you know, Roy Nelson getting knocked out. He seemingly has a better chin. So as Junior Dos Santos, as he progresses in his career, we'll find out if there's any truth to that claim that he does have a weak chin. The rest of the card is okay. We talked about Cain Velasquez versus Antonio Silva. I'm not a big guy on this fight because I think Cain's wrestling will neutralize Antonio's striking power. And I think it's going to be almost a repeat of the first event, which is very, very brutal. I mean, it was a very, very brutal knockout on the part of Cain Velasquez. TKO really just ground and pounded Antonio Silva. And that was his first fight back after the Junior Dos Santos loss, and he really hammered him. I just don't see the fight really playing out any differently from the first time, although Antonio Silva does have a lot of power and has a puncher's chance. The only thing is going to be able to take is it going to be able to withstand Velasquez's takedown? I don't think so. Because if Velasquez wants the fight to go to the ground, it's going to go to the ground. Glover Teixeira versus James Tahuna. This is, I believe, you know, James is, I want to say this is his, well, no, he's always been a 205-er. For some reason, I associated him with being a heavyweight fighter, but no, he's always fought at 205 as far as I could tell. And I don't think this is really going to be that difficult of a fight for Glover. I think that this is almost a showcase fight for him, and you know, if he wins, will he get a shot at John Jones? We'll have to see. So I think Glover is going to win hands down. And another fight is TJ Grant versus Gray Maynard. And this is an interesting fight in the sense that, you know, Gray Maynard is, you know, coming off a loss. He hasn't fought in a while. And this TJ Grant is supposedly a standout fighter in the lightweight division. And, you know, he's someone that is on another four-fight win streak, has decisive victories over Matt Wyman, won a decision over Evan Dunham, Carlo Prater. Wow, I'm surprised that Carlo Prater was still in the UFC as of last year and whatnot. And he's only lost decision, you know, he hasn't been knocked out, and he's lost some decisions to very, very good fighters like Johnny Hendricks, the aforementioned Ricardo Almeida, and Jonghyun Kim, who is a very, very solid fighter in the UFC. So that's going to be an interesting fight there, because there's certainly a lot of questions as to Gray Maynard's viability after losing the split decision, and it was a difficult decision. It could have gone either way versus Clay Guida. It certainly wasn't an exciting fight, but you know, prior to Guida, he had the two fights with Frankie Edgar, and that's it. And the Guida fight was, you know, almost a year ago. So we're going to see if the ring rust has had an effect on Gray Maynard. What qualifies as ring rust? You know, 6 months, a year? I don't know. That's a question to be answered. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But aside from that, there's really no other fights on this card that I'm interested in seeing. All right. Really, that's really it. So, KJ Nunes is on the card. Donald Cerrone. This is Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson. We're waiting for Robert Drysdale to call in. If he doesn't call in another 10 or 15 minutes or so, I'm going to wrap the show up because I got to go out. You know, I I don't know if I told you this, but I'm out in the living room now. I'm sleeping in the living room because in my room I thought I had a problem with baby roaches. I was telling you that I was on my laptop and I see these freaking baby roaches. Well, come to think of it, it may not be a roach problem at all, because from what I hired an exterminator and he came in, and from what my roommate says is that these look more like ants, because they were traveling in clusters. They're almost aligning in an ant formation. As you see, when ants come into a house, they line up in a certain formation. They come in, one comes in, senses food, goes out and essentially tells the other ants that there's food, and they go through cracks, they go through crevices, and they end up, you know, in your kitchens or bathrooms or whatnot. And I've had a problem with roaches before. One of my apartments in South Amboy, I had a problem with roaches. And it's so disgusting. It's so traumatic. There's nothing more traumatic than staring at a goddamn dead roach on a rug and having to scoop it up. It's just disgusting. It gives you the willies, you know? And so I saw these things, and I thought maybe they were roaches. So I got all my stuff out of my room, and I'm sleeping now in the living room where, you know, anybody could see the cars go by. It's really bad. And we got the exterminator down here, and he sprayed, and he said, yeah, it looks like you have a problem with ants, not necessarily roaches, which makes me feel better. But I have to go back into my room. And what I did was today, because the bed that I'm on right now, yes, I record radio on a bed. That's what's so great about Block Talk Radio. You could do this radio show while laying down, and that really suits us. It doesn't fit in the room I had. The room I had was 7x7, and so I couldn't fit this in the box spring, the mattress, and the frame in this room. And so I went out and I bought a twin size bed at Sleepy's, and I actually ordered a very, very expensive, very good pillow. So I'll be going into my room. They're going to be delivering it tomorrow, and I'll be going into my room, and I'm going to see. I'm going to actually have some sort of normalcy, you know. But it's going to be very, very interesting to get back into my room. And the only problem is it's so hot in my trailer right now. Our air conditioning, we really don't have that good of air conditioning. We have wall units. We don't have central air. So it just gets very, very hot in here. I can't even stay here during the daytime. I have to move. But that's what I got going on. They're going to be delivering the bed tomorrow, and I should be back in my room living like a normal human being soon, okay? So that's what I got going on tomorrow. And I don't know. Maybe I'll watch the UFC on my new bed. It'll be great. I'm too big for a twin-size bed, but it's the only thing that could really fit in this room. I really have no choice. So, you know, that's it. Big news, we got Antonio Buenuelos scheduled on the show. He's going to be coming on the show next Thursday. Very, very excited about that. I mean, this is a guy who's been around the sport for a long time. And, you know, he's going to be fighting soon. We want to get him on the program to talk about his career, what he's got going on. And, you know, as I said, he's really, really been around the game a long time and still a very, very decent fighter. But now, you know, he's fighting overseas. He's been fighting overseas in Japan. He's fighting for the Legacy Fighting Championship. And he's got a fight in Texas. And Texas is a real hotbed for MMA. Okay. I wonder if he knows, you know, some of the promoters down there, some of the trainers like Saul Solis and whatnot. Well, we'll ask him. You know, when we have him on the show, we'll ask him. He was in the UFC, and actually he was in the WEC, and I think he might have. No, he never. Yeah, he fought in the UFC once, if I'm not mistaken. He fought once, and he didn't impress the powers that be, so he was cut. And we'll be talking with him. We got him lined up next week. Sorry we weren't able to bring you Robert Drysdale. He did confirm last night, but, you know, these guys are busy, and sometimes, you know, he could be training. He could be any number of different things. He's in, I believe, Las Vegas, so there's a bit of a time difference there, and I just haven't heard from him, so... And I'm not going to, I can't stay here all night. We only have 15 minutes left remaining in the program. You're listening to Carson's Corner in conjunction with cagejunkies.com. In case you missed it earlier, we had Mark Pavlich on the program responding to some of the things that were hurled out from him. And I'm really surprised that, and I'm surprised and not surprised by his shying away of the promoter that was attacking him. And as I said, I understand why Mark Pavlich wouldn't want to mention the promoter by name, but some of the things, some of the personal attacks, you really have to address those things. You know, we see this in political campaigns where sometimes, you know, politicians don't want to address the negativity and they want to remain above the fray, and the accusations really seep into the public opinion. A good example of that is John Kerry, who, you know, these swift boat attacks led by people like Jerry Kiley, Vietnam veterans, against Kerry, the swift boaters who, you know, turned John Kerry, who was a decorated war hero, into some sort of coward, somebody who lied about, you know, his Purple Heart, which is just unbelievable. But, you know, it's just these negative attacks, unfortunately, that have an impact in some political races. And another example of that is Michael Dukakis. Remember in 1988 when they went after him and, you know, they said he was a nutcase. They said he was a wimp. They had the video of him driving around a tank. They smeared his wife. They said she burned the flag. It was, you know, this is all part of Lee Atwater's strategy. And unfortunately, it worked. It really did. So Mark Pavlich could take a page from, you know, politics in America and learning how to respond to this garbage out there. So that's it. But we're going to end the show. We're going to end it right here. I just want to remind everybody to tune in tonight at 12 a.m. right here for our coverage of Missing Children's Day and some of the cases that David Levitt was just talking about. I want to remind you to friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA and on Twitter, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Until next time, show somebody respect.